You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the second of three podcasts on melanoma hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Efficacy and Safety of Combination Immunotherapy in Advanced Melanoma. This series will be designed to meet the educational needs of community-based and academic oncologists, dermatologists, nurse practitioners, oncology pharmacists, and physician assistants who manage patients with melanoma. My name is Gregory Hosmer, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about the role of dual checkpoint inhibitors in the treatment of advanced melanoma and then discussing the efficacy and safety results from various associated clinical trials. Joining me today is Dr. David M. Miller. Dr. Miller is the director at the Center for Merkel Cell Carcinoma, co-director, NMSC Multidisciplinary Clinic at the Massachusetts General Cancer Center, an assistant professor of medicine and dermatology at Harvard Medical School, Boston, Massachusetts. Dr. Miller, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Gregory. Glad to be here.
In our last podcast, we talked about checkpoint inhibitors and their role in the treatment of advanced melanoma. Can you introduce us to the concept of dual checkpoint blockade and walk us through some of the key molecules that are currently available to treat patients?
Absolutely. Previously, we discussed the complex and intricate mechanisms involved with an appropriate immune response. To summarize briefly, for an appropriate immune response, a network of activating and inhibitory signals must be integrated to produce T cell activation when pathogenic immunity is needed, as well as attenuation of that immune response when the pathogenic insult has been eliminated. Capitalizing on insights of immune checkpoints has led to therapeutics to reinvigorate exhausted T cells that are present in a tumor microenvironment. Initial immunotherapeutic strategies in cancer utilize monoclonal antibodies directed against either CTLA-4 or programmed cell death 1, also known as PD-1. Subsequently, the field of oncology has learned that by combining monoclonal antibodies against more than one immune checkpoint at a time can increase the anti-tumor response. When more than one monoclonal antibody is infused concurrently as part of a treatment strategy, we refer to that as combined immune checkpoint blockade. To date, there are two FDA-approved dual immune checkpoint blockade regimens: combination anti-CTLA-4 plus anti-PD-1 in the form of ipilimumab and nivolumab, respectively, and anti-LAG-3 combined with anti-PD-1 in the form of relatlimab plus nivolumab, respectively. In addition, there are data from another combination anti-LAG-3 and anti-PD-1 in the form of fianlimab and cemiplimab that have been presented that overall support the clinical activity of combining inhibitors to these two immune checkpoint molecules.
Let's talk about the results from the RELATIVITY-047 study.
RELATIVITY-047 is a phase 2-3 global, double-blind, randomized trial evaluating relatlimab and nivolumab as a fixed-dose combination as compared with nivolumab alone when administered intravenously every 4 weeks to patients with previously untreated metastatic or unresectable melanoma. The primary endpoint for RELATIVITY-047 was progression-free survival as assessed by a blinded independent central review. The median progression-free survival was 10.1 months with relatlimab plus nivolumab as compared with 4.6 months with nivolumab. The hazard ratio for progression or death was 0.7, with confidence intervals ranging from 0.6 to 0.92. Progression-free survival at 12 months was 47% with relatlimab nivolumab as compared with 36% with monotherapy nivolumab. As expected, combination anti-LAG-3 plus anti-PD-1 led to more treatment-related adverse events, with 18.9% of the patients in the relatlimab plus nivolumab group experiencing grade 3 or grade 4 treatment-related adverse events, compared with 9.7% in the nivolumab-only group. The most common grade 3 or greater treatment-related adverse event in the dual immune checkpoint group included increased levels of lipase, alanine aminotransferase, and aspartate aminotransferase, as well as fatigue. Treatment-related adverse events of any grade leading to discontinuation occurred in 14.6% of patients in the combination group, as compared with 6.7% of those in the monotherapy anti-PD-1 group. These results led to the approval of combination relatlimab plus nivolumab by the FDA for advanced melanoma in 2022.
I believe there are some recent phase 1 data from ESMO from another combo therapy, fianlimab and cemiplimab, for the treatment of advanced melanoma. Could you share those data with us?
Absolutely. That is correct. Last October at ESMO, Omid Ahmed presented data from a phase 1 study of patients with unresectable or metastatic cutaneous melanoma who are either anti-PD-1 treatment naive, this was expansion cohort 6, or anti-PD-1 experienced with 3 months of screening, this was expansion cohort 7. Patients received fianlimab 1600 milligrams plus cemiplimab 350 milligrams intravenously every 3 weeks for at least 12 months. Tumor measurements were performed every 6 weeks for 24 weeks, then every 9 weeks. As of the February 9th, 2022 data cutoff date, 40 subjects in expansion cohort 6 and 15 patients in expansion cohort 7 were enrolled and treated with fianlimab plus cemiplimab. Investigator-assessed objective response rates were 62.5% in cohorts with 6 complete responses and 19 partial responses, and 13.3% in expansion cohort 7. Kaplan-Meier estimation of median progression-free survival was 14.2 months in expansion cohort 6 and 1.4 months in the PD-1 experienced cohort 7. Median duration of response had not been reached in both cohorts.
Talk to us about the treatment-related adverse events with the fianlimab and cemiplimab combinations.
Yes, happy to do that. So grade 3 or greater treatment emergent adverse events, those adverse events that we consider serious and clinically significant, occurred in 37.5% in cohort 6, again, that is the PD-1 cohort, and 46.7% in the PD-1 experienced cohort 7. Serious treatment emergent adverse events occurred in 32.5% in cohort 6 and 33.3% in cohort 7. 17.5 patients in cohort 6 and 13.3% of patients in cohort 7 actually discontinued treatment due to those treatment emergent adverse events. Rate of adrenal insufficiency was 12.5% in the PD-1 naive cohort and 6.7% in the PD-1 experienced cohort. None of the adrenal insufficiency side effects led to treatment discontinuation. This is an overall small study, but it does support the proof of concept established by the Relativity study of combination immunotherapy targeting PD-1 and LAG-3 in advanced melanoma.
Dr. Miller, tell us about the adverse events associated with the use of immunotherapy. What's been your experience?
My experience is that the majority of patients experience some treatment-related adverse event. The frequency of adverse events is indeed higher with dual immune checkpoint blockade as compared with monotherapy. Roughly 80 to 90% of patients treated with monotherapy anti-PD-1 will experience some immune-related adverse event. It is almost universal, however, with anti-CTLA-4 plus anti-PD-1. The rate of serious immune-related adverse event range between 10 and 55%, depending on the regimen. Approximately 1 out of every 100 or 1 out of every 200 patients will have a life-ending immune-related adverse event, with that percentage being higher in patients receiving dual immune checkpoint therapy. What complicates management of patients receiving immune checkpoint inhibitor therapy is that side effects can affect any tissue. Most commonly, immune-related adverse events affect the skin, gut, endocrine organs, liver, and lungs, but truly any tissue can experience an immune-related adverse event. In CheckMate 067, the most common adverse events included diarrhea, rash, fatigue, pruritus, and nausea. In Relativity 047, pruritus occurred in 23% of patients, followed by fatigue, thyroid dysfunction, and rash. Additional complexities include that although the majority of immune-related adverse events occur within weeks to months after initiation of treatment, immune-related adverse events can range from occurring immediately during infusion all the way out to the first onset, occurring as long as 1 year after immune checkpoint inhibitor discontinuation. Management of immune-related adverse events often involves a multidisciplinary team, where we are pairing with specialists from, for example, dermatology, gastroenterology, pulmonology, rheumatology, cardiology, and neurology, just to name a few. We do follow a general guideline for management that includes continuing immunotherapy with close monitoring and supportive care for grade one toxicity. We will consider holding immunotherapy and administering corticosteroids for grade two toxicity. We routinely hold therapy and administer high dose steroids for grade three toxicities. And we often think about introducing a biologic agent for grade three toxicity. Those biologic agents depend on the type of toxicity. For example, with colitis, we may introduce a combination of corticosteroids plus infliximab. We often permanently discontinue immunotherapy for grade four toxicities.
Last question of the day. Can you talk to us about how you balance the risks and benefits of all these immunotherapies we've discussed? How do they compare with one another?
Absolutely. You know, balancing risks and benefits of our therapeutic choices is one of the most important elements that we are tasked with. Ideally, we would have randomized controlled trials that compare the various regimens that we have discussed today in order for us to be able to make the most reliable inferences from those data. Unfortunately, there are few data that exist of that quality to help us with this task. Many of the oncology trials are single-arm studies that have response rate as the primary endpoint. Therefore, we are making extrapolations across trials when we make decisions about one regimen versus another. Cross-trial comparisons are fraught due to the heterogeneity of the patient populations or trial conditions. That said, you know, we must make decisions based on the available data. The available data would suggest that dual immune checkpoint blockade has improved efficacy compared to single agent anti-PD-1 or single agent anti-CTLA-4. However, that added benefit comes with additional toxicity. That additional toxicity can complicate a patient's disease journey due to treatment discontinuations and the need for immunosuppressive regimens. The data that we do have between different dual immune checkpoint blockade regimens is limited. Combining anti-LAG-3 with anti-PD-1 may provide fewer serious side effects than combination anti-CTLA-4 and anti-PD-1, but we truly need head-to-head trials before we can say that with confidence. Hopefully, in the years to come, additional data will help us make these very important decisions.
Thanks, Dr. Miller. This wraps up our second podcast in our series. Thanks to all the learners who have joined us. Please tune in to our third podcast, where we'll be talking to a patient about their experience to treat their advanced melanoma. Hopefully, you'll be able to tune in to the other podcasts in this series. There are a total of three, as well as some of the other amazing CME programming that Med Learning Group offers. Med Learning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. The CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. And I would like to give a special thank you to our grant supporter, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals Incorporated, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity.